Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got John Jackson in the house on mic two. John Jackson, thanks for being here.
Always. Great time, David.
Hey, you were just talking a little bit about some breaking news about the Secret Service, somebody getting axed, or what was that?
Yeah, just saw it break on Insider Paper here 5 minutes ago. Now they're saying the Assistant Director of the Office of Protective Operations with the Secret Service has been, in big quotes, asked to retire.
Hey, can you try that? That's mic is coming in a little bit slow. Can you try one of these other mics? Try that. Try line four, mic four. All right. Let me see. Okay. So all right. Go now. Try it.
How's that?
Oh, much better. Okay. Sorry to the listeners out there. So somebody has been asked to resign out of the Secret Service.
Yes. The Assistant Director of the Office of Protective Operations has been, in big quotes, asked to retire. And what they do with that, I've seen that happen a lot. The agency will come to you and say, look, we've got all this on you. It's maybe not criminal, so we're not going to come with you a criminal case, but it's enough for us to fire you. Rather than making us go through the whole process, do you want to just go ahead and sign on a dotted line here and head out?
Yeah. My understanding is the only downside of that is then that person won't be able to collect unemployment, I don't think, if you resign.
Well, and what they'll do with guys like that, too, is in allowing you to resign, then you, in future endeavors, you were never fired from the agency.
Right.
You left in good standing, all that stuff.
So what else is going on with the assassination latest? We were talking a little bit about it during the break in terms of the grand jury, sort of what's being said out there. We were talking about the Melania Trump video. Kind of what's your take on everything that's going on with the investigation there?
Well, now, of course, they had the head, you know, the director had to resign. The assistant director, as you know, with the acting director, got brought in and just killed in that congressional committee. Now you have this assistant director of the protective detail being asked to resign. They've got a grand jury going on right now, and that will bring in, see, what's going on there is that wasn't Secret Service mostly doing that detail that day. That was people from all over the federal government and state and local police there. They're going to be bringing all those people in. So there will not be a culture of, okay, let's all huddle together and get our stories straight. No, because see, they're all from different agencies. There won't be that opportunity to do that. And you get called in and told raise your right hand, you're gonna be telling the truth there or it's gonna be your ass.
Yeah, well, good. And then I just saw a Melania Trump video. Melania Trump put out a video saying that she's very concerned about the lack of information that we have on this thing, and she says that she thinks there's more to the story. To me, that's very telling because I don't think Melania puts out that video without Donald Trump's permission and approval.
Oh, exactly. 100%.
And so that tells me that Trump, and Trump always has good information. Trump is the one that told us that he was wiretapped at Trump Tower and everybody poo-pooed it and said that's not true. And then it turned out to be right. And so when Donald Trump says something like that, I tend to listen. We've got Tester Will Not Be Elected on the phones. We'll come to you right after this. David Noble and John Jackson.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable. Yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website. Go download the Montana Talks app because we're going to deliver the stories they refuse to tell. MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. I was talking earlier in the week John Jackson. I don't know if you saw this story, but Bozeman is reporting a rise in COVID cases, and NBC Montana was on that.
I can't believe that NBC Montana was on COVID cases again. I mean, the people that screech like lunatic Karens the whole time during the
hour. I thought that was hilarious that they would actually. I'm like, is this 2024 or is this like 2020? The Democrats still think COVID matters, apparently. We were just talking during the break about. How much we appreciated the fact that when Governor Gianforte took over in 2021, he put a screeching halt to all of Governor Bullock's shutdowns and mask mandates and everything else. Let's go to Tester, will not be elected in eastern Montana. Thank you so much for calling.
Hello, gentlemen, and good morning, Montana, and thank you to our veterans and the people that serve our country. Real quick, I wanted to touch on this thing that's coming out about Senator Tester saying no to the SAVE Act. He doesn't want to protect election integrity, but that's a whole different subject. I just wanted to point that out real quick. What I want to get into is Tester's latest post. He's standing in an office building with his two fingers on one hand up against this sign that says, I have a message for Tim Sheehy, hands off our public lands.
Oh,
here's my message for Senator John Tester. You know what, John? Keep your hands off of the VA benefits, because now all the illegal migrants have VA medical benefits, and there's a $14 billion shortfall. Keep your sticky fingers out of the lobbyist cookie jar, because you're the number one highest paid recipient of lobby cash. Keep your hands off of the gourmet meals you spent $1.2 million on in D.C. Keep your hands off my paycheck. Keep your hands off of women's sports and Title IX. Keep your filthy hands that have blood all over them for migrant crime off of our gun rights. Because, John Tester, me and the rest of Montana have had just about enough of your sick games and terrible ways you have treated veteran Tim Sheehy and his family. Mark my words, the people of Montana will show up and do the right thing and retire Tester once and for all in November. Thank you, gentlemen, for what you do, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Boy, John, callers don't get much better than that.
Woo! I mean, can I get an amen, brothers? Brothers and sisters, amen. I mean, can I get an amen? That was beautiful.
Yeah, no, and she mentioned the SAVE Act thing, and obviously we've got another funding deadline at the federal government, and we've got Congress preparing. And remember, folks, we're actually operating right now under baseline budgeting from the COVID spending levels. They never even went back to original spending levels, and they think that, hey, conservatives should vote to fully fund this federal government if we can get the SAVE Act, and it's like, or if we can get a border funding bill, or if we can get this, and I'm sitting here thinking, no, I want folks doing what Representative Rosendale, which is a no, 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 shut it down until we've got a balanced budget, or even better, a surplus. That's my position. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. I mean, 100%. I went through four government shutdowns in my time, and it's nothing. It's nothing. The what they call the non-essential people go home, all the essential employees stay there, it's no big deal. It's just a political embarrassment. But here, that SAVE Act, it's about, you know, illegals not being able to vote is what that is. And they've put this thing into the budget here coming up to the end of September. And are out there, you've got some of them out there. Mike Jensen is one of them, and Mike Lee out there. Oh, we're going to shut down the government if the Democrats go. Let me tell you, that ain't never, ever, ever going to happen. Guys, just stop. Just stop. We are not going to be Charlie Brown and run up and kick the football for you again. We know you're not going to do it. We know you're going to cave right at the last minute. Just stop.
And they really should shut it down over that issue, because then the it's so frustrating, because, for example, let's talk illegals voting, or let's talk a balanced federal budget. The American people are with us on those issues. And if the Republicans shut the government down and say, we will not fund this government until we have laws in place that prevent illegal aliens from voting and until we're on a path to a balanced budget, Those are positions that we can take to the American people and win, of course. But these Washington, D.C. Republicans are too scared of the media calling them out on it. And it's like, why don't you guys grow a backbone and take their case to the American people?
They have had 4 years to do this, David, because everybody knows the 2020 election was stolen. They had 4 years to come up with this SAVE Act, and now they're going to do it 1 month before a presidential election. I mean, me being all for shutdowns, all for this kind of stuff, even I would say this ain't the time for that, because you've got to run up to, what, you know, 30 days, 60 days before an election. The media will just hammer you over it, and you're going to suffer for it. Now is not the time.
Right. No, exactly. And the other thing I love about government shutdowns is something Mark Levin says all the time, which is the government shuts down every weekend. Every Friday at 5 o'clock, the government shuts down, and it stays shut down until Monday at 8 a.m., and everybody's fine. And the idea of non-essential federal employees, if they're non-essential, why do we have them in the first place?
What changed everything was, like we go to back all the time, is Barack Hussein Obama. I believe it's back in 2014 when there was a shutdown fight. And he being the president, see, always before that, the president takes the blame for it. Oh, no. He used that to increase the pain on everybody as much as he could, and made the media take the Republicans, blame them for it.
Right. I remember that. Francis in Big Fork, we're going to come to you right after this break. Francis in Big Fork, you're up next. Actually, my parents were camping in the National Forest when that shutdown happened. They forced them to pack up and leave. How absurd is that?
Yep.
Securing America.
13 U.S. soldiers killed in a suicide bombing outside Kabul International Airport at Abbey Gate 3 years ago will be honored as their families receive congressional gold medals in their names. The Congressional Gold Medal, one of the oldest and highest civilian awards in the U.S., bestowed by a vote of Congress to give the highest expression of national appreciation for distinguished achievements and contributions to our nation. A ceremony today that follows a GOP House report into the Afghanistan withdrawal that places much of the blame for the deaths of 13 U.S. service members and dozens of others, and leaving $7 billion in U.S. weapons, equipment, and technology behind. On the Biden administration, as Democrats criticize the report, laying the blame on the Trump administration, even though the withdrawal happened over 7 months after President Trump left office. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson in studio taking your phone calls here. Aaron Flint back tomorrow, 406-294-0970. Open phones the entire next hour and a half, so get your phone calls in now. Let's go to Francis in Big Fork. Francis, thanks for calling.
Yes, boy, I agree with Montana. Kester will win. I love her. Anyhow, I just found out the reason Sheehy had bought that house is because the guy he knew was going to lose it. So he bought the place on the lake, and he lets him stay there to take care of it, and hired him to take care of his own place.
Wow.
Now, and that's, you know, oh boy, he's so terrible. Just every one of these ads makes you sick to your stomach, because he lies so bad. And especially, you know, I agree. I vote. Whatever you ask me, I will do. Well, I've called him up many times and asked him not to vote on these bad bills, and every time he doesn't. So that's a big lie right there.
Well, yeah, no, good point, Francis in Big Fork, and appreciate the call. To me, like, they're attacking Tim Sheehy because he has a house on the lake? I mean, is that a valid attack, do you think, John Jackson?
Well, kind of no, because it kind of doesn't work when you've got big boy tester there, you know, spending $1.2 million in Tony D.C. restaurant, sitting there, you know, downing his vodka and cranberries, you know, there in D.C. restaurants.
And $1 million-plus mansion in D.C.
Yeah, that attack kind of doesn't fit there. You know, the old class warfare, you know, he's a rich guy, so we got to hate him. And, no, he's only providing how many jobs to to Gallatin County over there? Come on.
Right, and then that's good information from Francis and Big Fork about the fact that he actually bought that house as an act of goodwill towards a friend. These Democrats don't care about anything. They'll literally, so you try to do something nice for somebody, the Democrats attack you. It's just nonstop attacks on success. I was saying earlier in the week, John, if I ever have a lot of business success and make a lot of money, guess the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a ranch and I'm going to buy a lake house.
Oh, heck yeah. But get you 1,000 acres and just leave. I mean, just go off the grid and be gone from everybody. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're all of us Montanans want to do exactly what Tim Sheehy has done. Let's go to Jay in the Flathead. Jay, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. So, I'll try and keep this quick. I've lived in Montana 13 years now. A few years back, had some issues with the first iteration of the Veterans Choice when Tester said it was his bill and he was in charge of it. Long story short, unpaid bills went to local doctors down in Southwest Montana. And when I wrote Tester, about the third time I got a form letter back that basically said, yeah, we're aware of it. And I got sent to collections and wound up paying it myself. So thanks, John, you turd. Second, the invertebrate eunuchs that call themselves Republicans in the stinking greater Washington, D.C. swamp area. I wish you all, and I'm talking directly to you, every last one of you, including the ones from Montana, including the ones running, tired of hearing you talk, what are you going to do? I don't want to hear, oh, on the first day this, on the first day that, because I don't believe you. What are you going to do together to shut this communist crap down? I'm just tired of hearing words. I want to see action. And finally, yes, Francis is right. All these people with their ads, they're using not only their money, but our money in the form of donations to run these feckless, moronic, just pointless ads. I don't care what Tim Sheehy owns. I don't care what John Tester's family farms in dirt. I don't care what it is. I don't care if he has a hydroponic farm. What I'm saying is do something. Stop wasting money. Stop wasting time. Stop supporting yourself. And work for the people of Montana. And if you can't or won't do that, don't run. I think we ought to put these people back on the GS scale, cap them at GS 11, make them go through the same background checks that police officers have to go through. We'd have a whole different class of people in Washington because these liars, sycophants, pedophiles, and I don't even know what else, wouldn't be able to be there.
Wow, well said. Well said, Jay. Jay in the Flathead. I pretty much agree with that call. What do you think, John?
100%, buddy. 100%.
And I love the I love the frustration in his voice, too, because this is extremely frustrating. And it's so frustrating when you see these senators and these representatives. They'll talk, and then you say, do something. And what do they do? You know what they do.
They cave.
Or they write a letter.
Yeah. Well, it's a strongly worded letter. You got to get that strongly worded letter in there, yeah. No, we've been saying that for a long time, and I think that's once again something that Barack Hussein Obama brought out, is that's the uniparty. We are dealing with a uniparty. We are dealing with a Washington, D.C. that is completely and utterly broken. What needs to happen is the whole thing needs to get scrapped and redone again, because as it sits right now, it does not work for you. It works for themselves, enriching themselves and making government bigger. That's all it does.
Amen to that. Let's go to Z in Michigan. Z, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just got a little bit of Michigan-related news. Sad to say, James Earl Jones passed away last night, and he grew up in Michigan near the Cadillac area in the Manistee National Forest and had overcome a stutter. Amazing, amazing. Because he was such a gifted speaker, so usually I call him with fun, funny stuff. But I always admired James Earl Jones, and you know, like I said, he grew up here in my state. So So I just thought that was an interesting piece of trivia for this morning. So
well, good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good tribute. Thanks for calling in. Any takes on that one?
I saw that he'd passed away yesterday. And, of course, everybody talks about Star Wars and this is CNN and his famous voices. But did you see the movie Clear and Present Danger?
I did not.
He was awesome in that movie. He was the head of the CIA in that movie. And he has a great, great line in there where he leans over to the guy running the little board there on the submarine. And he says, "Now, you heard the torpedo hit the hull. And I was never here." Just such a great line. He folds out his creds and he shows him who he is. And I was never here.
I like the Lion King. He was voice in the Lion King was he? Was it Mufasa or was it the dad? I can't remember. Oh, I don't know. Mufasa. Travis is our resident like trivia expert here. He says. It's Mufasa. Let's go to Gary in Billings talking about the topic du jour, property tax issues. Gary in Billings, what's your take?
Hey, thanks, David and John. I'd like to give you a picture of my first with property tax. In 1971, I bought my first house at $20,900 on Avenue F. As I went along, working for the city, and I started at $385 a month back then. So I paid for that house in 30 years, and in 1995, my wife and I divorced, and my property tax at that time was $1,500, and I couldn't afford to stay there. So as we go along, and now there's good and bad with what we're doing here. But how can people afford to even buy a house so they don't pay their taxes?
They can't.
Because, see, 78% approximately goes to the public education. I worked in those areas. And everything else is added on as highway patrol, sheriff department, blah, blah, blah. And you get all these people want money. Well, I had to sell it because I couldn't afford to stay there. And I went down to Ford and I bought a car for 5 years and I paid it and it was over. Well, you can't do that with your house. And people have got to learn that how can you, on your income, unless you're wealthy, how can you stay in your house? You can't. So Christy Noem in South Dakota has no property tax or no income tax. They operate on a 6.2% sales tax. So how can we keep putting the saddle on the dead horse and expect you to stay in your house?
Yeah, no, well said, Gary. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know. I don't know how anybody expects anybody to be able to afford these ever-increasing property taxes.
That you're hearing that all over the country now. It's not just Montana because, you know, you and I talk to people on social media all over the country all the time. And they're telling you now just an average house in a decent neighborhood just about anywhere, you're looking at $500,000. Right off the bat. Now, right. I mean, maybe once you get up in your 30s and your 40s and you can start, you know, maybe affording that house. But people coming out of college, you know, young families like that, they can't afford those. Young families can't buy the American dream anymore because of the Democrats and their $6 trillion worth of COVID spending. That's what did all of this.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And this is a big, I mean, I was looking at, so for example, like my house, my personal house, I would not be able to afford that house today at today's interest rates and today's prices. I got lucky because I bought in when interest rates were below 3%. But with these higher interest rates, which these higher interest rates are a direct result of the COVID spending because that triggered the inflation, which required the Federal Reserve to increase interest rates. The Federal Reserve actually went before Congress and said, "Look, Congress, we need your help to defeat this inflation. Yes, we can raise interest rates, but Congress has to cut spending, then we don't have to raise interest rates as much." So the Democrat policies have totally priced people out of the American dream. The American dream is dead because of Democrat policies. I mean, that's where we're at.
Oh, these people would rather get a case of a clap than cut spending. I mean, the Republicans and Democrats.
Even though it's obvious that we're overspending, there's massive amounts of fraud and abuse, there's very, very easy places to cut spending, they will not do it. And that's why we're all outraged, exactly like Jay in the Flathead.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Nearly 5 years after the start of the pandemic, there's concern about commercial office space in big cities. Remote work policies and high borrowing costs contributed to that. Experts doubt that some commercial buildings will never recover to their pre-pandemic value. The market's troubles have caught the attention of Congress. Faced with vacant office buildings and a shortage of millions of homes to meet demand, a bipartisan group of lawmakers is trying to make it easier for developers to convert underused properties into housing. Republican Ohio Representative Mike Carey teamed up with Democratic California Congressman Jimmy Gomez to introduce a bill this summer establishing a temporary 20% tax credit for qualified property conversion expenditures. New York State lawmakers have also sought to stanch the bleeding by encouraging conversions to housing. New York City developers who set aside a quarter of an office conversions units for affordable housing can qualify for a 90% tax abatement. Fed Chair Jerome Powell voiced concern. He said commercial real estate risks, quote, will probably be with us for some time, probably years. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's John Jackson and David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint for another hour and 20 minutes, and then Aaron Flint back tomorrow. Mike in Big Timber's calling in. Mike in Big Timber, thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick correction for John. The quote he did on James Earl Jones is actually from The Hunt for Red October.
He is correct, yes.
Just thought I'd mention that. And by the way, gentlemen, on the topic of property taxes, don't you think this is more like a wealth tax? Simply because, as one person mentioned, they bought a home for one price, the value increases, and then they tax it on that increased value. That's basically, to me, a wealth tax. I mean, of course, I think California, if I'm not mistaken, of all people, they passed, their tax is based on the cost that you paid for that house, and it doesn't go up even though the value of the house may be assessed higher.
Yeah, that's right. And they had a citizens initiative in California a long time ago that put that in place. We had something similar, I think, in Montana. I don't know, can't remember if that didn't make it onto the ballot or if it didn't pass or whatever, but I certainly think capping property taxes at the value that you purchase the property for seems to make sense to me.
Have you seen, like, go back however many years, you know, go back 5 years, these initiatives, you know, in big quotes, these initiatives that they put on ballots, have you voted for a single one of them? I can't think of a single one of them that I voted yes on. I mean, not one, because every single one of them is some kind of leftist new idea, or it's a tax. I mean,
right.
you can't go too wrong by just closing your eyes and putting no on every single thing that they propose.
Right. Every single levy. I'm a no vote on every mill levy. I'm a no vote on every single initiative up today. They're trying to do this top four primary system so that you get rhinos and Republicans in the general election, and they're hoping all the top four primary system, one of these initiatives, that's just there to help undocumented Democrats win against conservative Republicans. And then, of course, the ranked choice voting thing is also just there to help Democrats. They're literally trying to fundamentally change our voting system just to help Democrats.
It was a couple weeks ago, I read off the places here in the United States that do that now. It's like New York and San Francisco and somewhere in Minnesota. I mean, why do you think they do that there? So they can manipulate the whole process and get their people in. You definitely do not want that in Montana.
Right. So it's just a no, 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 straight down the line on all these initiatives in 2024. Pretty easy. Let's go to Priscilla in Billings. Priscilla, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm calling on the property tax. My husband doesn't like it when I say we're former Californians, and they did have something called Proposition 13, which is whatever you bought your house for, that's what your taxes were until you sold your home. And then, to me, here in Montana, what the property tax is on an unrealized gain tax, because they're taxing you on money you haven't received yet that they're hoping you'll receive or expecting you'll receive when you sell your house. Because I bought my house for whatever price, if it goes up in value, I'm not benefiting from that. And I have to keep putting money into my house to maintain my house. And I don't get any credit for that either. So I'm wondering if I do these property taxes, if there's a market crash, which I'm old enough I've lived through, and my house value goes way down, are they going to refund me?
Your taxes will still go up because it's not actually based on the value of your house. It's based on how much the local government needs. And so if the assessed values go way, way down, they're still going to be taxing you the same amount they're taxing you now. They're just going to have to increase the number of mills because the I'm no expert on property. I think property taxes are intentionally complex so that people can't understand them. But my understanding is the property tax amounts are based off of what your city and your county and the schools need, right? I mean, it's not based on that. That's why our property taxes went up, not because the assessed values went up, but because city and school and county budgets went up. Am I wrong on that, or do you know, John Jackson?
That's what they all do. And Aaron has said this a bunch of times. We all pay attention to the big shiny objects of what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we should. But where they are screwing you under the table, covert, all the time, is in your city councils, your county commissions, things like that, your state legislature. That's where nobody really pays attention or really knows who these people are, and they're the ones putting it to you.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And this whole the deal with property taxes is like, yeah, I agree with all these callers that it's terrible, it needs to be fixed, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, it's also true that we do have to have some form of taxation to fund our state government, to fund our schools. And if it's not going to be the property tax, then it's going to either be the income tax or it's going to be a new sales tax. Sales tax isn't going to happen. So really the only alternative, I guess, would be massively increasing income taxes, which I don't think anybody wants to see that either. So again, if you focus on the tax side, you're not going to get anywhere, which is why we need to focus on the spending side. And you massively reduce spending, then you can bring your property taxes down. That's how I think we ought to solve it, is massive cuts to federal spending. I mean, look at, like, the city of Billings is spending money on public restrooms for, you know, homeless people to use. Maybe we could have cut that spending out and maybe reduced our property taxes.
Oh, you don't want to make me king of the world with this stuff, because let me tell you something. I would take that budget and cut it by 80%. And you go back to basically what the Constitution allowed for, and that's, you would have law enforcement.
Firefighters,
And infrastructure.
Right.
And that's it. Everything else is cut out, gone.
Yeah, I mean, that is literally constitutional. That's exactly how it's supposed to be done. I got a message from Horse Lady in Deer Lodge. She says, property tax rebate should have been a percentage of increase back to individual taxpayers rather than $675 to anyone with the primary residence. Our taxes went from $3,000 to $5,000 a year. Because one home in our subdivision sold during the COVID exodus from other states for too much, our reappraisal value almost doubled. Again, property taxes are not based on your appraisal value. They're based on how much your local government needs. My point is that I know of people in other counties who have similar properties now paying virtually nothing, and we're still paying $1,350 more per year after the rebate. Montana legislature should have fixed this last session instead of Band-Aids. Yeah, Horse Lady, you're just confused. Number one, your property taxes are not based on your assessed value. They're based on how much your local and city government needs. Second of all, this is not up to the local and city and county spending is not up to the Montana legislature. So again, I personally think that the Democrats have purposefully made property taxes so complicated, because then they can confuse people out there, and they can confuse people into thinking that our property taxes are controlled by the legislature and the governor when they're controlled by your city and your county. I mean, it just, and I'm the first to admit, I'm no expert on property taxes. I look at my property tax bill, I don't understand it. I mean, it makes no sense to me when I saw my property tax bill.
Well, don't you worry, David, because the intrepid Montana media, the Lee newspapers and the Billings Gazette and all the, you know, the TV stations, they are going to explain that right down to letters so you know exactly who's responsible for it, right? Yeah, wait on that. Hold your breath on hearing from them on that.
Let's go to Mike in Cardwell. Mike in Cardwell, thanks for calling.
How are you doing today? Thanks for Mr. Jackson's presence on your show. He's a very entertaining person.
Heck yeah.
You got a voter situation cropped up in Oklahoma. They've caught 170,000 people registered to vote that aren't even born yet. And if anybody knows anything about a person by the name of Jerome Corsi, he's got about 30 books describing corruption of government and so on and so forth. He was on Coast to Coast Saturday night, and I would advise or request that anybody can dig up the information from his guest host being a guest on that program. And he also has uncovered several ways, through the technical ways, how they're going to corrupt the voting process across the country. It's worth listening to.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate the info. It sounds like, John Jackson, do you know the individual he was talking about there?
I've seen that name before. He was big in conservative circles maybe 10, 15 years ago. He kind of dropped off, but yeah, he's written a lot of books. Yeah, to the voting thing, just this morning, David, a video comes out of the Dallas County, Texas Department. Election workers are being trained to falsify information on voter registrations, and they're telling, get all these homeless people and all these, you know, whoever, probably illegals, get them registered to vote and put their address for that ballot to come to the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it to the church right there.
Yeah,
what do you think is going to happen when the ballots, all those ballots come into the church? All those people are going to grab them, fill them out, and turn them in. This is the election cheating right here, and that's in red state Texas.
And they're doing the same thing in Montana, where these organizations out there like MontPerg and Forward Montana, these Democrat front groups, are also helping homeless people and people without addresses to register to vote. And you're right, probably we don't know who all that includes.
Yep.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, she said day one, we're going to fight inflation and immigration. Day one was January 20th, 2021. What do you mean on day one? And then for 3 years, she lied about inflation, that it was transitory. Lied about immigration, said it was, the border was secure, and said, well, you haven't been to the border, called out by Lester Holt. Well, I haven't been to Europe either. She's now on record saying she will raise the corporate taxes, small business taxes, will put in a wealth tax, an estate tax, capital gains taxes to unprecedented rates that'll destroy investment in this country. Even Mark Cuban recognizes that, unrealized capital gains. That would be a depression for this country.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called GoldCo the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, GoldCo is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees, plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
HPV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John Jackson and I were just laughing about all of the AI-generated memes going around on X right now. My favorite was there was about four or five cats, and they had the MAGA hats on, and they're carrying rifles, and they're marching down there. The other one was Donald Trump carrying the cat and carrying the goose and running the Mogadishu mile.
to recap for everybody that doesn't know, turns out the little bitty town of Springfield, Ohio, 60,000 people, you know, kind of like a small Montana community, has had 20,000 Haitians invade their town. And they've overtaken the town, and now the city's wildlife, to include pets, are being grabbed up, killed, and eaten in broad daylight by these people. There's a picture of one of these Haitians walking down the street with a dead goose in his hand. I mean, the media will try to tell you that this is invented. Oh, no, it's not. You got people going to a city council meeting there telling stories. They've witnessed it with their own eyes.
Right. Unbelievable that this is happening. And I saw some Democrat online tweeting about how, like, those the pro-cat Trump memes were all going viral on Facebook amongst the boomers. And they were really worried that the boomers were going to love the Trump cat memes so much that they would actually all just vote for Trump then.
One thing people have to understand, you really have to have lived overseas to really get this. A lot of Americans are under the idea that people in other countries are just like us. Maybe they just speak a different language. No. That's not how it is. These people coming in right now across the southern border, the people that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are flying in here, are not Swedish mathematicians, okay? They are third world savages and criminals fleeing their own country to come here and take all of your stuff and create havoc and chaos. And Biden and Harris are totally fine with all of that.
Hey, so are you going to be doing any spaces or podcasts coming up? Anything specific with the debate tonight?
Tonight, yes. We're going to do a live spaces, kind of like you are. Live spaces starting before, just before the debate. And then we'll have after commentary. We tried it last time doing commentary during the debate, but everybody's TV noise comes over it. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Because it's going to be, that debate is going to be crazy. What's your prediction for it?
I mean, so basically, judging off of how Donald Trump did during that Joe Biden debate, which I've never seen Donald Trump so disciplined and so on message as he was during that Joe Biden debate, I think we'll see that exact same Donald Trump where he sticks to policy issues, points out Kamala Harris's radicalism. We still got to talk about that CNN report exposing Kamala's radical positions. But I think Donald Trump is going to be disciplined and on point, and he's going to dominate. And I think Kamala Harris is going to come across as the, unlikable Marxist that she really is.
Yeah, that's how we were talking about that yesterday. That's how she comes off one or two ways every time. Either it's the bubble-headed word salad, or it's the witch with a B. That's how she comes off every time. And what she hates is the microphones are muted. She hates that. They were lobbying just up to a couple of days ago.
John, I'm speaking.
I'm speaking, sir. I'm speaking, sir. That she really wants that. She really wants that moment, but it's because the networks can splash that out there with all the Go Girl stuff behind it. I don't get that because see, for me, I think that makes her look even worse when she does that thing.
I do too.
They like it.
They think it's like a girl boss thing, and I don't know. It's just to me, it seems arrogant. I don't know. It comes across as arrogant or condescending to me.
Well, what I said the other day was there has been this notion in our culture and society that we as men are not ever allowed to talk over women or mansplain to them. Well, I think COVID did away with all that. The Karens did away with all that because that's all they did to us for 3 years was shout at us and bully us. And they were all women.
Right. And by the way, shout out to the women of Montana for not voting Democrat at the same rate as women do nationally. We've got Tanner Smith in Lakeside on line one. Tanner, we're out of time, but Tanner, you're first up on the statewide 9 o'clock hour starting now.
All right, summer's over. Kids are back in school. Time to get to work, especially here in 2024. Man, it's crazy. Just a few short weeks left until Election Day. You're going to want to sound off on the big news of the day. You're going to want to tell folks all across Montana what's on your mind. And sometimes it's not always the big news of the day. Sometimes it's just the fun stuff, too. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take it statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10.